What happened to the American dream? The once common vision of rising living standards is no longer considered plausible for most Americans. How that came to be is explained in the new book, Ours Was the Shining Future, The Story of the American Dream by David Leonhardt. David is a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist and a senior writer at the New York Times, where he writes its flagship newsletter, The Morning. Here he is to share five of his key insights.
I'm David Leonhardt, the author of Ours Was the Shining Future, The Story of the American Dream. I'm going to share with you five big ideas from that book. Number one, we're living through the Great American Stagnation. In 1980, the United States had a typical life expectancy for a high-income country. Today, every other high-income country has a higher life expectancy than the U.S. does. It's true in Canada, in Japan, across Western Europe, and elsewhere. During these same decades since 1980, incomes in the U.S. have grown slowly for most Americans, and the net worth of a typical household is lower than it was when the 21st century began. Pundits and politicians sometimes wonder why polls show that Americans are so unhappy with the country's direction and are dissatisfied with the economy even when it's growing. But there's good reason for this dissatisfaction. Economic growth hasn't translated into consistently rising living standards for most American families. The country hasn't lived through this kind of prolonged stagnation since before World War II. How has this happened? My book tells that story. It's a book for anybody who's trying to understand the American economy and how it's been hobbled. Number two, a class divide is at the root of our problems. If you're surprised by these grim statistics on life expectancy and income, you're probably a college graduate. For college graduates, incomes, wealth, and life expectancy have indeed risen in recent decades. And for the richest Americans, incomes and wealth have soared. The problem is that our economy has stopped working well for working-class families. An American with a bachelor's degree can expect to live 8 years longer now than somebody without one. Racial inequities have also grown in recent decades. Number three, political power shapes our economy. During the middle decades of the 20th century, the 40s, 50s, and 60s, ordinary Americans built political power through mass movements, especially labor unions. These movements succeeded to a remarkable degree. Incomes and life expectancy rose across the board for the rich, for the middle class, and for the poor. Inequality fell because incomes rose even faster for the poor and middle class than for the rich. The white-black wage gap shrunk. Even before the civil rights movement began, the gap started shrinking. The United States was still filled with terrible injustices during these decades. But Americans could expect that their lives would improve over time and that their children's lives would be better than their own. Over the last 50 years, the power dynamic has changed. The political left in the United States, whose most important institution is the Democratic Party, has increasingly come to reflect and represent the views of relatively well-off college graduates and professionals. Republicans, meanwhile, remain the party of small government, big business, and laissez-faire capitalism, in which party leaders favor tax cuts for the wealthy, reductions in benefit programs that serve the middle class and the poor, and a relatively free hand for businesses to maximize profits, even at the expense of wages. Republicans claim that these strategies bring prosperity for everyone, but the results since 1980 say otherwise. Number four. We don't invest in the future as much as we used to. Consider this. It takes longer to travel across the United States today than it did 60 years ago. That's remarkable. A typical cross-country flight today lasts about 30 minutes longer than it did in the 1960s. Because aviation technology has not advanced in ways that speed the trip, and the skies have become so crowded that planes have to slow down to accommodate traffic. Nearly every other part of a cross-country trip, the traffic to the airport, the security lines at the airport, has also become longer. Only if you're wealthy enough to fly on a private jet can you easily recreate the travel times of a half century ago. The speed at which people can get from one place to another is one of the most basic measures of a society's sophistication. It affects economic productivity and human happiness. And our slowdown in travel speeds reflects a larger decline in investment in this country. What's investment? On the most basic level, investment is a society's willingness to devote resources to improving the life for future generations by sacrificing today. It involves diverting money that might otherwise be spent on consumption and instead spending it on education or on scientific research, on emerging technology, or on transportation. Past investments have been crucial to American prosperity. But the share of resources that we devote to investment has declined markedly in recent decades. That's the key reason that it takes longer to get from point A to point B than it did many decades ago. Number five, don't despair. The United States can build a stronger economy. Why am I so confident about this? Because the country has prospered before by building a form of capitalism that works well for most citizens. In my book, I use the term democratic capitalism to describe this system. It's a system in which the government recognizes its crucial role in guiding the economy. The free market does many things well, but it also tends to lapse into a predictable set of excesses. Inequality and climate change are two examples. Under democratic capitalism, a society respects both the power and the weaknesses of the market. The government uses taxes to prevent the formation of an economic aristocracy and to pay for activities that the market neglects. The government regulates businesses to protect consumers and workers. The term democratic capitalism is particularly apt because it reflects the symbiotic relationship between democracy and capitalism under the best of circumstances. Democratic governance prevents the excesses of free market capitalism, while the material gains produced by capitalism foster the faith in society on which democracy depends. Democracy strengthens capitalism, and capitalism strengthens democracy. We're a long way from having an economy like that today, but there are reasons for hope. Most Americans know that the current system isn't working. They want something different. We can see the evidence of that all around us. Something different has worked before, and it can work again.
Thank you, David. That was five big ideas from Ours Was the Shining Future, The Story of the American Dream by David Leonhardt. Also check out our book bite for Bootstrapped, Liberating Ourselves from the American Dream by Alyssa Quart. I'm Michael Kovnat. Have a great day.